family and friends.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But what if you could get both? Why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. And we know this from research of members. There's a lot they like about MediShare, but especially they love being part of something they believe in. And MediShare works, too. It has for more than 30 years. There are hundreds of thousands of members who love having telehealth if they need it. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or you're part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump, in a social media post detailing his call with Russia's President Vladimir Putin, he also spoke with Ukraine's President Zelensky afterwards and says negotiations between both countries will begin immediately to try and end the war. He also suggests in the Vatican under Pope Leo could help facilitate that meeting.
President Trump says his phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin, quote, went very well. He says Russia and Ukraine will now start negotiations toward a ceasefire. The two sides met in Turkey last week for the first time in 3 years, but neither Putin or Ukrainian President Zelensky participated.
ABC's Karen Travers. The UN says aid trucks have begun flowing into the war-torn Gaza Strip for the first time in nearly 90 days due to Israel's full blockade for nearly 3 months. In Ohio, the mayor of Fremont says the body of a 5-year-old girl involved in the deadly train crash over Sunday night has been recovered in the Sandusky River. The girl was walking with her family when it happened. This is ABC News. A new study out on the sleep suggests it's best to get up right away.
No matter what your alarm ringtone, doctors say you're better off skipping the snooze. A new study published in the journal Scientific Reports quotes researchers who say the minutes just before waking are the most important phase of sleep when rapid eye movements are at their peak. Snoozing interrupts that. Their advice, set your alarm for the latest possible time and then commit to getting out of bed the first time it goes off. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The New Jersey transit strike that began on Friday ended Sunday with a tentative deal between transit leaders and the union representing 450 locomotive engineers. They're back on the job today running safety checks. Tomorrow, full service resumes for some 350,000 commuters in the region. This was New Jersey's first transit strike in over 40 years. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with CentOS. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a CentOS Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit CentOS.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson made a pitch for Republican unity at the weekend state party convention in Wausau. Johnson said squabbles within county parties aren't helpful when the focus needs to be on turning out Republican voters.
We've always had them. I mean, people are people. There's always power struggle. But I have to admit, in the 15 years since I entered this political process, I've never seen as many squabbles.
Johnson said he won't pick sides in the disputes between MAGA Republicans and more moderate members of the party, but he asked both sides to abide by the decisions of state party leadership. Wisconsin's higher education funding takes another drop.
According to the latest analysis from a national organization of state higher education executives, the universities of Wisconsin ranked 44th out of 50 states in public funding last year, a drop of one spot from 2023. Universities of Wisconsin president Jay Rothman said more public investment is urgent. Just 18% of the UW system's current two-year budget of $13.7 billion comes from state taxpayers. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Department of Natural Resources budget request for the next biennium sits at $1.2 billion. Oshkosh Democratic Representative Lori Palmieri.
Over the next month and a half, I'm looking forward to working with my friends across the aisle and the DNR to get these common sense, popular provisions passed. Maintaining our public lands and preserving our beautiful landscape for future generations is something that everyone can support, and it's an area of bipartisan cooperation in a time where politics can be divisive.
The DNR's request would be a 2% increase. Republicans who control the legislature's Joint Finance Committee will need to approve any increase in funding. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy with highs around 60. A possibility of showers this evening become a bigger chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight, bringing some gusty winds with them. It'll be a damp and dreary day tomorrow. Soaking rainfall is possible. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 48.
Bear spreaders were active in the corn market again today, but the market moved to the upside with aggressive buying in new crop futures. Wheat futures were higher, bean oil was solidly higher, beans slightly higher, and bean meal slightly lower. Feeder cattle and lean hogs were mixed, and cattle closed off session highs but still posted gains on the day.
From the unofficial final Monday of official calendar spring via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll begin with a conversation with Brian Basting from Advanced Trading. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Do you have, like, a special calendar that has all these different days on it for you?
Or
just make it up?
No. I have an official, unofficial calendar is what it is.
Yeah. I got you.
Yep.
I got you.
Because this is the unofficial final Monday of official calendar spring.
Gotcha.
People don't mark that one, but
I do. It's an unofficial calendar. That's right. I get it. You know, it's still a little chilly up here in in Northeast Iowa. If you would notice, for those of you that might be watching on Farm Journal TV.
Hello.
I've gone with the sweatshirt this afternoon.
I got a hoodie going. A little zip-up hoodie number. Here, and I'm going to tell you something. You know I've been into the sun tea last week or so. We've had so much sunshine, you got to do something with it.
It's just water today, isn't it?
I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no sun, and I'm almost out of tea, bro.
Oh, no.
I don't know what they did to make tea before the sun shone, you know? I guess I'll Google it.
I'm not too sure that they made tea before the sun shone. I'm just saying. Welcome to AgriTalk and happy Monday afternoon, everybody. I'm Chip. That is Davis. We've got a great show coming your way. Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, is going to be here. We're going to talk about what's influencing the markets, what the conversations are that Brian is having with clients across the country. Okay. We're going to get into that. We'll talk to Jack, get his perspective on what's happening in the grain markets. And at the end of the show, Kerry will be here with the with the chart updates. You ready? Let's get started.
I think I'm ready. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of May 15 totaled nearly 424,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. That helped wheat rally to spike resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to post a mid-range close. I think that'd be Friday's high. Wheat crop conditions generally good, and traders have basically removed yield risk from prices. Crop watchers expect a mostly dry week in hard red winter wheat country this week, ahead of more weekend rains. The pattern is expected to remain active and wet in soft red winter wheat country. A lower U.S. dollar index helped support wheat prices today. July HRW wheat futures today, 6¼ cents higher, 5.22¾. July soft red wheat up 4 cents to 5.29. Let me click over for the spring wheat. Yes, July spring wheat. Wow, up 12¼ cents on the July spring wheat, 5.85½, Chip.
Yeah, it feels like there might be a little bit of demand showing up. It feels like the market was looking at some of the production issues coming out of Russia and Ukraine. Just decided that, you know what, maybe we've gotten cheap enough for right now and got a little bit of short covering going in the wheat.
Well, Chip, the cheaper U.S. dollar helped encourage a modest upside recovery in corn futures today. July corn opened steady near session lows and posted a high range close while completing an inside trading day. Chart watchers say that points to price consolidation this week. Export inspections of corn week ended May 15 totaled 1.72 million metric tons. That was at the top end of trade expectations. Buying in corn is expected to be limited over the next few weeks by timely Midwest rains, but traders caution the outlook for corn could change dramatically with the U.S. in trade talks with several countries. July corn futures 4 cents higher, 4.47½. September corn up 6¾ cents, 4.28¼. December corn futures closed at 4.41¾, up 6¼ cents. The fundamentals versus trade, Chip.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, there, thanks to several guest analysts that we've had on the show before, they let me know that there was a huge spike in volume in December corn right at 1:07 Central Time this afternoon. That's what gave that push in the bear spread, because the new crop rallied more than what the old crop did. So we'll talk to Brian about it and see if he knows anything on that here in a bit.
Well, export inspections of soybeans in the weekend at May 15 came up short, totaled just 218,000 metric tons. USDA this morning did announce the sale of 145,000 metric tons of soybean meal for delivery to the Philippines in the current marketing year. As with corn, crop watchers anticipate mostly good growing conditions for soybeans over the next 2 weeks. July soybean futures opened just fractionally higher. End of the day, just slightly above the opening range. July futures consolidating just above last Thursday's price low. July beans were 0.75¢ higher today, 10.50¾. August beans up a penny and a half, 10.47¾. November beans closed at 10.37, also up a penny and one half, Chip.
July bean oil was up 51 points, 49.44 on the close. That really helped that bean market out today.
Well, quickly, Chip, December cotton today, 67 points higher, 68.34 on your livestock's June fat cattle, 75 cents higher, 212.97½. August feeders down 12 and a half cents, 297.47½. And June lean hogs down $1.07½ to 99.25. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How's it going, Jack?
It's wonderful. How about you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Did you survive that dust storm over the weekend?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. All my friends, we had actually my 50th high school reunion over the weekend here in town. And all my friends drove in, and their cars got coated with dust. Mine was in the carport and managed to escape that, which was amazing. I don't know how that happened.
Crazy. Crazy. See, you know, just looking at the pictures of it, it was pretty shocking how that thing just rolled into the Chicago area. Okay.
We've never seen anything like it. Not for 90 years or something.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so what'd you make of the price action in the corn market today? Higher, but the bear spreads were working.
Yeah, I'm kind of discounting the spreads a little bit. Okay. They were working, the bull spreads were working last week, and looks like we gave a little of it back, but most of the action seems to be in the December for some reason. Well, because that's where the planning is going on, and people are concentrating on that. And so I think if we do continue higher, the spreads might continue to be a little bit weaker in through here. That really shouldn't be fundamentally, because that's the demand is all in the July.
Yeah.
But it seems like the trading interest has shifted from the speculator, has shifted over to December a little bit more.
Okay. All right. The money all moved over there. What about the bean trade? Anything in particular in the beans that you like or don't like?
Well, I think the fact that they held was pretty positive here today. They've been actually outperforming the beans and or the wheat and the corn for the last month or so. So to have the beans hang in there while corn and wheat were trying to rally, I thought was pretty important.
Yep, no doubt. All right, Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, is up next here on AgriTalk.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secure. Something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secure our world. Then share them with family and friends.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Farmers, it's spring planting time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa has filters with low prices every day and has specialty tools for your equipment, too. Keep the equipment working during the planting season with Napa know-how from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon and joining us right now, Brian Basting, Advanced Trading. Brian, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I appreciate the opportunity to be with you, Chip. Pretty good, thanks. How about yourself?
Doing real fine, real fine. Okay, so I think you heard Jack and I talking about it. There was a big spike in volume in the Deese corn contract after shortly after 1 o'clock Central Time here today. It's almost like the managed money just decided today's the day we're going to make the move into the Deese corn. Is it as simple as that?
It sure seems like it. We're getting a cart in front of the horse a little bit here, Chip, and as far as new crop prices. We've barely got probably somewhere around 80% of the corn planted, but very little weather premium in that Deese 25 futures at this point. So I think maybe a little bit, Chip, is that we may not get all our intended acreage planted now. That may be offset by a few more acres that we didn't know were going to get planted. So maybe that 95.3 on the 2025 acreage isn't that far off. For a while there, we were in the bias that maybe that number is going to be a little bit light. But I know some friends are really struggling in the southern part of the belt, Chip, getting this corn in the ground.
Yeah. Spots that would like to have corn planted a month ago haven't turned a wheel, Brian.
No, they haven't, Chip. My heart goes out to those folks, Southern Illinois, parts of Missouri, Southern Indiana, Delta, Mid-South. It's just been a really rough go the last month, as you said. Some of them haven't even turned a wheel yet, and it's getting pretty late once you get past Memorial Day to plant corn.
Yep. So do you like the 95.3? Is that kind of the bottom line?
I do today, Chip. I mean, let's see how much weather we do get the next couple of days. Maybe we won't get deluge, or those folks won't get deluge by rain, which at this time of year would be good, obviously. And maybe they can give a last shot at getting some of that in the ground before we get into prevent plant time. But for the moment, Chip, yes, I do like 95.3. I still think there's an outside shot we could be a little bit higher than that.
Okay. All right. Do you feel like we've lost the ideal growing season already?
Maybe from the standpoint of the entire aggregate U.S., I would say yes. I mean, so many things have to line up, and one has to line up is you have to get time in planting and good stands. And we've lost that, Chip, for some of that acreage. Yeah. Having said that, we look at the heavyweights, as it were, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, Minnesota, a mixed bag within some of those states, Chip. But nevertheless, I think still close to, if not full potential, amongst all those states looking at yield potential here for this fall.
Yeah. Well, even in Iowa, I mean, northern Iowa, the northern three crop districts, I would guess somewhere between 5 and 7% of the corn crop has been replanted. We haven't done that on a big scale in Iowa for a while.
Truly a mixed bag, Chip, and you know this far better than me, but I believe far western Iowa was a bit dry than recently, at least some of those sections were. I have a contact in southeast Iowa who struggled to get his corn planted there back in April. I think he finally got started the first part of May. So it's really been a mixed bag for the entire state.
Okay, you said it when we started talking. You feel like maybe we got the cart in front of the horse on this, and we've taken too much of the yield uncertainty out of the market. If we're starting off on May 19th with the kind of price action that we saw today, it seems like the market is realizing the same thing, Brian.
I think the market is in the same boat as a lot of us are, Chip. It just has so much uncertainty out there. To ride this market much further at this point would be a little bit ill-advised, considering we've got all these potential trade deals in the background. We've got a full growing season ahead of us, yet we've got uncertainty about what's going to happen in Ukraine. We've got uncertainty about what's going to happen with China. So many uncertainties out there, Chip. Strength of the dollar, the economy, U.S. economy. I just think it was too early a little bit to keep pressing this market this time.
You know, Brian, normally when we talk about uncertainty and the way that a market will react to it, it's negatively. But I get your point that in this case, maybe they'd built in too much of a bearish scenario.
Maybe. At least a case could be made for that, Chip. I think as we go forward, I could build a very bullish case for any of these crops. I could build a very bearish case for any of these crops. So how's that for straddling the fence on a Monday afternoon? But seriously, I think we've got so many moving pieces, Chip, in these markets. Trade. We've got weather in the U.S. We've got weather in the Black Sea. We've got weather in China. all these moving pieces, Chip, and that's barely scratching the surface. We can talk about the funds, we can talk about the economy, so many other things we can talk about. But the point is, I can see wide swings in these markets, Chip, based on what could happen over the next 90 days, 90 to 120 days.
Well, after what we're going through in this market, Brian, I would tend to think that volatility would be our friend in this case. And if we do get one, if we do get, you know, a spark or some fuel for a run to the upside, it seems like it's not that hard to come up with that scenario. Is it?
No, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Chip. Volatility is going to be the name of the game here. Now, volatility can be viewed one of two ways. It can be viewed with fear, or it can be viewed as opportunity. And I think from our standpoint, we view volatility in markets 100% of the time as opportunity. That doesn't mean it isn't challenging by any means. You got to have a plan. You got to know how to execute what you want to do, because once you get that heat of the moment, Chip, whether it's a weather market or a reaction to a trade deal, a reaction to a non-trade deal, markets can really test your will if you don't have a disciplined plan in place. But once you have that plan in place, you let the volatility execute your plan, Chip. For example, if you had a put option in place, you'd roll up that put option on a bullish market. If you made a forward sale and bought a call option to accompany that, you'd roll up the call option, and vice versa with a bearish market. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Volatility is just starting here as you approach Memorial Day.
Yep. So how's your will holding up on this, Brian, if it's being tested that much? I mean, you and I have been watching these markets for a long time. I don't know if I recall a time period like we're in right now with the uncertainty and weird weather and these, you know, the summer outlook from so many different analysts out there that are saying, better watch out. It looks like the pattern could change on us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pulling us in many different directions right now.
Well, you summarized that well, Chip. The markets can do that to you. It doesn't matter how long you're doing this. You know, I think if you could quantify this, Chip, the degree of whiteness of my hair probably has increased exponentially the last 6 months. But no one's figured out a way to quantify that yet. But in all seriousness, I think we all got to be humble here to some degree. We got to use our experience to the best we can. But we also got to acknowledge that what we've seen in the past, we're in a little bit of uncharted territory in terms of the simultaneous nature of all these things occurring at once, and a growing season again, not only here but also overseas, just getting started. So let's be humble. Let's go into this thing and say we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know we want to execute. We want to manage price movement, Chip, rather than predict price movement.
Right. I'm in 100% agreement with that. But I got a call from a buddy, a really good friend, over lunch hour, and he was asking me questions about how the corn market performed during Trump 1.0. And as he's asking me, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's he trying to figure out here? What's he trying to accomplish? And he was just trying to see if there was any chance of patterns repeating from what we saw in 1.0 to what we're in right now. I think 1.0 is different enough from 2.0 that might be dangerous work. What are your thoughts?
I don't disagree with you, Chip, and here's one prime example. Now Brazil has an agreement with China. To that degree, when we look at 6-7 years ago, my mind runs together, but when we had the phase one agreement where China came in and was required to purchase so many dollars worth of U.S. goods, including corn, that really accelerated the bullish nature of the corn market rally in 20 and 21. This time, Brazil has an alternative to turn to, or beg your pardon, China has an alternative to turn to, and that's Brazil. So maybe China anticipated the possibility of this administration returning to White House and said, you know, we're going to at least set ourselves up where we're not going to be held up as such. I'm not saying that happened 6-7 years ago. But my point is that maybe in a better negotiating position. I don't know. But that's just one way to approach it. But I think the way you summarize as well, we can use that example as an observation of what could happen. But to put all our eggs in that basket probably would be ill-advised.
Yep. But, I mean, I hadn't really even given it that much thought or consideration to do that. And he got it in my head, and I was thinking about it, went and looked at the charts. But I just think they're different enough that might be... Might be dangerous to do that. All right. Hey, we are right in the middle of a conversation with Brian Basting from Advanced Trading. We got a lot of ground that I want to cover yet. We're going to talk cattle before this is done.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were 6 1/4 cents higher at 522 3/4. July soft red wheat up 4 cents to 529. July corn futures were 4 cents higher at 447 1/2. December corn futures closed at 441 3/4, up 6 1/4 cents today. July soybeans were 0.75 cents higher at 1050 3/4. November beans closed at 1037. That's up 1.5 cents today. December cotton up 67 points to 68.34. On your livestocks, June fat cattle were 75 cents higher at 212.97 1/2. August feeder futures down 12.5 cents to 297.47 1/2. And June lean hogs down 107 1/2 to 99.25. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Every year.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Farmers, Elsevia is pleased to announce the new Hager City Grain Terminal is now open and accepting grain. Grain deliveries will be accepted Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. The new Hager City Terminal can unload your grain quickly and efficiently and ship it to markets in the Southwest and Pacific Northwest. Grain deliveries are being accepted at the Hager City Grain Terminal. Visit elsevia.com/HagerCity for more information.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy with highs around 60. The possibility of showers this evening become a bigger chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight, bringing some gusty winds with them. It'll be a damp and dreary day tomorrow. Soaking rainfall is possible. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 48.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
That's Octothorpe AgriTalk, if I'm not mistaken. Chip?
Is that what it is?
I believe so. Yeah.
Octothorpe.
That's metric for hashtag.
That's right. That's right. Metric for hashtag.
Now. That's right.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's hard to get used to.
Oh yeah, it's you're right. It's hard to get used to.
It's like retraining yourself to write in cursive again. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I'm going to do that either.
I've done that too. Yeah.
Well, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Basting from Advance Trading. Brian, last week we got USDA's first official look at the 25-26 marketing year, corn, soybeans, wheat. Couple of things. Did the trends that they showed you make sense on the usage and the carryover? And does it have an influence? Does it have much of an influence on what you're thinking? And is it influencing your risk management decisions?
The numbers have surprised a few out there, Chip. You look at the bean carry out, projected bean carry out for 25, 26, under 300 million, for example, really caught the trade off guard. I do think that the WASD, though, still has a valuable place in the tools available to us. Quite a bit of information can be gathered all around the world by the resources that they have. And no other organization, for all intents and purposes, has that capability to objectively supply that information to us. So it still has a place. I think we got to take it, as we do each year for that matter, as a starting point. It's not crossing the finish line by any means. Obviously, we're just getting the crop in the ground. But I like to look at the usage numbers. I think those usage numbers are going to be highly contingent, Chip, on what happens with the trade deals. It's stating the obvious, I realize, but we have to accept that could look a lot different as soon as 3 or 4 months from now. Much less a year from now in terms of what a balance sheet looks like for 25-26. But it is a starting point. It gives us an example of what the bias is, for example, on Chinese bean imports, Black Sea trade, those types of things, which are critical to our balance sheet here.
Yep. You and I have talked about the crush capacity that we've got, the expansion of the crush capacity here in the U.S. It's obviously expected to continue in the USDA numbers. What are your thoughts there? I mean, are we finding enough certainty in that bio-based diesel market to keep the capacity going?
I think eventually it will, Chip. Certainly there was uncertainty raised last week via the limit down move, obviously, and oil there, I believe, on Thursday. But I do believe that there is a commitment to that biofuels that once folks get around a table and digest things, it may not be exactly what we look at today, but a lot of major investment decisions have already been made based on that assumption. So I think in some way or form, it's going to be pretty close to what we expect. But news like that, Chip, is a little bit, to remind your viewers, a little bit of the proverbial black swan out there. We just got to be always aware and always be in a position to defend our balance sheet, Chip, against anything like that, whether it be in the meats, whether it be in the grains, a policy decision, something like that. Anything can pop up there, particularly when you have prices, for example, at elevated levels for a producer or if they're at depressed levels for an end user.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And you were talking about it earlier. You got to manage your marketing in here. You don't want to be too predictive on what is going to be happening with prices going forward. But and you talked about if you're making cash sales, maybe you've got that call in place, or if you use some put options. What I hear you saying is you, if you feel like you need to do something, just make sure that you've got some options. Options isn't the right word to use. Some flexibility to take advantage of a price recovery if it happens later. Yes?
Yes. I think that the phrase that comes to mind, Chip, is you want to avoid, at all costs for that matter, painting yourself into a corner.
Yep.
We like to use the phrase, we always like to cheer for higher prices from a producer standpoint. And by that, I just mean that if you've got don't have any position in place, you're cheering for higher prices. But if you've got a position in place, you're cheering for higher prices. If you paint yourself into a corner with a forward sale and no call option, for example, you sure aren't going to be cheering for higher prices. You're going to be hoping that you just sold the high. And nobody knows what that's going to be. So I think cheering for higher prices again is a way to approach it and give yourself flexibility. Any type of approach, whether you're using an options approach, whether you're using a forward sale and tacking on a call option, I should have said a moment ago, a put option approach, whether you're making a forward sale and tacking on a call option to it, a lot of different ways you can do that, Chip. But as you know, the worst thing you can do is paint yourself into a corner and really be in a bind if the market moves against that position.
Yep. Okay. All right. Get this. Cash cattle last week, 226.45. Mm-hmm. 226.45, Brian. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely amazing to me. It was up another $1.65. And actually, up a $1.65 is a slowdown in the upward momentum in that cash trade. It's just, it's pretty astonishing. But we had cattle futures set back last week. How do you manage that? And what's it all mean?
There's quite a few smarter livestock analysts than me out there, Chip, but about 40 years ago, my first job was as a livestock analyst. I remember one of the first lessons I learned was that to respect what the board is telling you. And in this case, geo futures are at about a $10 discount. Quite a $10 discount to what the cash is trading today. August futures at a $15 discount. So that doesn't mean that those forward prices can't come up to where the cash is, but it's send a message to producers to stay current. Obviously, the last thing you'd want to do in that environment is feed cattle ahead too heavy. Even if the cash price does continue to go up, terrific. Put your next pan up there at those higher levels. But point being is, Chip, that the other thing I'd caution, I just mentioned it a moment ago, the possibility of black swans. Certainly it's impossible. If anything's impossible to predict, that is. But about 22 years ago, we had a black swan event with the one dairy cow, as I remember, with the mad cow that really crushed our beef export market for the better part of a decade. Yeah. I'm not predicting anything like that, but boy, once you get these elevated levels, Chip, somebody can come up with a news story that says beef is horrible for you or something. You know, I love to eat my fair share of beef too, but point being is that you want to continue to, if you've put all this time and blood, sweat, and tears into these cattle, you want to sell them when they're ready. You want to look at some defensive hedging opportunities, perhaps in deferred options, but leave the market breathing room on the upside, because certainly you want this thing to run as a producer as long as it wants to.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The last thing this cattle market needs when we're trading up at the levels that we are right now is for it to have another Oprah moment. Remember when she came out and said, you know, I know I'm done eating hamburger or something like that. But seriously, anything like that at where we're at now, you know, Brian, I don't know if that's right now. It is a risk. There's no question that it's a risk, but the way that people have turned to beef and their willingness to continue to buy as we're making new record highs in cash, in wholesale, and in retail prices, it might be able to absorb an Oprah moment. I don't know.
No, nor do I, Chip. I think that one thing we do have to acknowledge, though, without question, is that what goes up must come down. Mm-hmm. We know that the forces of the market, at some point, there is a level, and I certainly don't know what that level is, where the consumer is going to say, I'm out. You know, I can't pay X amount for ground beef, or I can't pay X amount for a steak. I'm going to eat more chicken, more fish. No one knows what that price level is, but that's the function of the market, to find that level if we continue to charge the way it's charging here. And at some point, we're going to be able to place more cattle, and all else being equal, we're going to supply more eventually. I don't know what Friday's cattle on feed report is going to show us, but that's very short term. But your point's well taken. I mean, this has been a very tremendously strong fundamental market for quite some time, which also should make us on the defensive a bit that, again, all good things must come to an end.
This bull market has got some age on it. There is no question about it. But I don't know how to gauge how much time is left in it. I don't know where we're at. I don't know what inning of the game that we're in, Brian, which means you better be prepared for it to end abruptly.
Well said, Chip. I couldn't have said it any better, as a matter of fact. You know, you could have something happen where you have three limit down days in a row, and you say, yeah, fundamentally, I just sold cattle for $218. Why is the board? Well, it could be anything. We don't know. But eventually what that is it's going to work its way into the market, whether it's export concern or whether it's a black swan, who knows?
Yep.
But your point is well taken. Abruptly is the key word, and that's why you want to be defensive. Defend your balance sheet, because these are heady times, as it were, for cattle folks.
All right, 30 seconds left here, Brian. Last words to the listeners out there. What do you want them thinking about the next 30 days?
Just maintain a flexible outlook on these markets, Chip. Again, it could build a very bullish or very bearish case scenario. Avoid painting yourself into a corner be prepared, but be prepared to manage price movement and avoid price prediction at all costs.
Man, you did 30 seconds of a summary in 15 seconds, Brian. That was pretty well done.
You've trained me well, Chip, over the years. I always enjoy visiting with you.
Oh, I love it, Brian. Enjoyed the conversation. Looking forward to the next one already. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chip, and wish all your listeners a happy Memorial and safe Memorial Day weekend.
Perfect, perfect. Brian Basting, Advanced Trading. Okay, it's Monday. You know what that means. When we come back, we're going to go over to the chart side of things, get an update from Kerry Artec, Artec Advisory, and WickedStocks.com. That's next here on AgriTalk.
When the game is...
Are you worried about your taxes? Okay, so I'm talking to those of you out there that have not filed in a few years with the IRS or state. It's time to get worried, and here's why. The IRS is getting back from their own COVID lockdown, and they're hiring more enforcers, and they're going to come after people that owe taxes. So if you're a 1099 worker, and maybe you just plain forgot to file your taxes, you need to call the professionals right now at the Tax Helpline. They are experts at knowing the tax regulations, and their goal is to help you pay as little as possible. Call right now and get a 100% free tax evaluation. Remember, before the IRS knocks on your door, knock on our door. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, make this free call right now.
Call Taxes 321 now at 800-808-9443. 800-808-9443. That's 800-808-9443.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Specialist located in Iowa, Brad, a break in the rain is finally getting some farmers back in the field. How are things going in southeast Iowa?
Well, Chip, we've had a little bit of the opposite condition across a lot of the upper Midwest and particularly around where I'm at. And we actually wouldn't mind getting a little rain. I would say that most of planting is wrapped up or will be this week. And where the crop is already up, it looks pretty good. And the forecast looks like a lot of this area has a chance at some rain the next week or so. So fingers crossed. The good news is, with drier conditions, planting and early season wheat and trout applications have been pretty timely this spring.
All right, so what are you keeping an eye on over the next few weeks?
That answer's pretty simple, weed pressure. The warmer spring that we've had might lead to earlier germination of some of our summer annuals like foxtail and water hemp. The best way to control weeds is to take care of them early, so we'll be working with our growers all over the Midwest to tailor their post-emergent applications with the right herbicides and adjuvants to keep their fields clean in the summer. And for a lot of them, that's going to include our newest adjuvant in our lineup, Cohort. It's an AMS replacement and a recommended tank mix partner with Liberty Ultra.
All right, tell us more about that.
Cohort's a water conditioning adjuvant that has multiple technologies to increase herbicide activity by reducing evaporation and spray droplets, increasing absorption and translocation of the active ingredient, and improving tank mix uniformity and compatibility. That provides faster and more complete weed control, all in a convenient liquid formulation.
Yeah, once again, I'm hearing the message, do not ignore the importance of an adjuvant, right?
That's what they're for. Herbicides do their job, but sometimes, whether it's the spray water or the weeds that we're trying to kill or the environment we're trying to spray them in, can get in the way of that. Adjuvants help overcome those challenges.
All right, excellent. Brad, where can listeners go for more information?
Visit HelenaAgri.com to find your local Helena retailer and get more information about Copart.
Thank you, Brad. That is Brad Hammes, Helena product specialist in Iowa.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Great conversation there with Brian Bassing from Advanced Trading. Thanks, Brian, for coming on and sharing your thoughts and your perspectives with us. It's Monday afternoon. Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. joins us right now. Carrie, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If you would like to take a look at what Carrie and his team does on the commodity side, head on over to artacadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. And if you would like to take a look at what they do on the stock side, go to wickedstocks.com. At both spots, Carrie will get you signed up for a free trial there. You starting us off in the corn market, Carrie?
Yeah, July.
Okay. Yep, good.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
So back in January, the broader corn futures market, back then it probably was the March contract, closed above an 18-month channel top that is now, it's dropping about a penny a week, 437 and three quarter, 18-month channel top. We are above it by about a dime. Just last week, we retested it again for the fourth time since the January buy signal. Now, that first 5-6 weeks following that signal in January, we got a nice rally. But we're just sort of sitting here in the mud, it feels, you know. A 437 and three quarter, though, still nonetheless a base of support, able to contain selling into later summer and above which, over the longer haul, and that means like into later year by harvest, perhaps, 520.75 in reach. I call that a 3 to 5 month attainable objective. On the way up, I think over the next 3 to 5 weeks, we can revisit 487 even. That is an area that can contain buying into July expiration. And if we can get up and over 487 even, over the next 3 to 5 weeks or the next couple of months, then that 520 and three quarter likely over the following 3 to 5 weeks. 520 and three quarter is a 3-year descending channel top. And the truth is, technically, the broader corn futures market remains in a 3-year bear trend below 520.75. So it can contain annual buying pressures. And if we can close above that 520 and three quarter formation, that actually should set off a significant show of strength through the rest of the year and into next. Downside, if we happen to collapse back below, close the week below 437 and three quarter, then heaviness should resume. That should be the dynamic as we move into June, July trade over the following 1 to 2 months of closing below 437 and three quarter. I would expect a 10 cent range between 385 even to 395 even, where this market could actually bottom out perhaps through the rest of the year. onto July lean hogs. June is technically still lead contract on a lot of these weekly charts because not all of the algorithms have kicked in. Volume is higher in July, but tick volume isn't. And over the next few days, July will take on the long-term weekly chart, where it actually is immediately encountering a price ceiling at 104.32. 104.32 is a three-year descending channel top on the lean hog chart. And I mention it because June is about 4 points lower. It's in the 99 handle, but July is at 103.57. And so later in the week, we will roll to July. And if July can close above that three-year channel top at 104.32, and yes, I need to see that by a 1% margin for what I call a technically reliable buy signal, that would be 105.37 or higher on Friday's close, July lean hogs. We enter one of the biggest buy signals I've seen in lean hogs in many months, 109.65, then likely within about 3 to 5 weeks. And by the end of the year, 3 to 5 months or so, the lower 120s, 122 even to 123 even. That's an 18-month channel top that I would expect if we close above that 104.32 formation by 1%. 105.37, kind of Friday's magic number. Until then, if July rolls below and holds below 104.32, it is a significant price ceiling. We can fall back to 101.10 over the next week or two. And if we close below 101.10, then we actually enter a significant sell signal through June, 96.50 in reach, where we could bottom out into July expiration. So bottom line is, holding below 104.32, July lean hogs can fall back to 96.50 by expiration. And if we close above 104.32 by a 1% margin, that is a broader base buy signal for the broader market, where the low 120s, a realistic 3 to 5 month upside objective. And finally, Tesla. I'm mentioning Tesla again. I mentioned about 4 weeks on your show, I said that if we close above 287.70, we should see 351 within about 3 to 5 weeks. That happened a week ago today. It took about 3 to 5 days. And we got to 351.62. Today, we've backed off into the mid 330s. So we've met the objective. 351 even can contain buying through the month of June, and below which we should fall back to 285 even over the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's very stair step on the way down for Tesla. I'm no longer expecting 160 even, but if we close below 285 even in the next few weeks, then 215 is likely over the following 2 to 3 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. But this 351 even to 356 even area is a price ceiling that can contain longer term buying pressures. And from here, we can ease back. We can fall away back to 215 perhaps within a few months. And yes, by the end of the year, maybe 160. If we can close above 356 even, this is a big buy signal for Tesla. 427 even, then a 3 to 5 week target. But by the end of the year, 514 even would be expected if we can close this week above 356 even. So we've tested a big area. We're easing back, and we can continue to ease back down to 285 over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I tell you what, when I saw that Tesla had the three handle here a little while ago, I started paying closer and closer attention to it. It was just a rocket shot to 350 in there.
It was.
That was like in
3 days.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was impressive.
It really is.
Kerry, good stuff, man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and wickedstocks.com. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for May 25th through the 29th. I'm just going to call it below normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt are expected. You get into the far northern production areas, northern North Dakota, northern Minnesota, you're looking at the potential for near normal to above normal temperatures in the northern areas. And I'm just going to call it above normal precipitation across the Corn Belt. Northern Minnesota, most of Wisconsin is looking at below normal, but it's cool and wet in that 6 to 10 day. The 8 to 14 day, May 27th through June 2nd, mostly below normal temperatures and near normal precipitation expected over most of the areas. Hey, thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We are taking a look at the state of the dairy industry. Karen Bonner from Farm Journal Milk will be here.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other. with a lot of help from DAV.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Hey, it's me, Yaliva. You know, the organ that helps you recover every weekend after pizza, donuts, and all those drinks. When you have a headache, you take an aspirin. You have a stomachache, you pop an acid. But where's the love for your best buddy, the liver? The least that you could do to help me stay healthy is take Active Liver from New Nordic. Active Liver tablets contain high-quality, all-natural ingredients like milk thistle, globe artichoke, and turmeric extracts, which are proven to keep me healthy and you feeling your best. Active Liver provides an easy daily detox and helps protect me all year long. So let me make you an offer you can't refuse. You take care of me with Active Liver, and I keep taking care of you. Capiche?
See for yourself why Active Liver is Scandinavia's number one liver health supplement. You can find Active Liver at CVS and online at Amazon or directly from NewNordicUSA.com. Again, find it in stores at CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The United Nations says the first aid shipments into Gaza have resumed following nearly 3 months of a full blockade imposed by Israel. Israel now focusing on a new plan, it says, to take over Gaza.